What's going on? We're live. So if you're watching the broadcast, you're watching the rebroadcast. Either way, this is an evergreen information I'm going to share with you. Today, we're talking about three ways to lock up massive real estate wholesale profits. This is chapter 5 of a 7-part series. So you basically want to make sure you watch everything from chapter 1, and you want to watch 2, you want to watch 3, you want to watch 4. And then before you try to watch 5, because everything I'm going to be saying in this session will make a lot more sense to you when you do. If you're watching me live, you want to go ahead and listen to me, that's okay. But let's get started. First thing first, I am not an attorney, and I cannot and don't give legal advice, not with regards to real estate or anything else, okay? As a matter of fact, what I am is a professional marketer, a coach, a consultant, an investor, and in no way, shape, or form am I giving you any kind of legal advice. The other thing I want to share, get out of the way, is that this video or this series, any video in this series or on this channel, it's not a guarantee that you will make money. I am simply sharing my journey and one of the ways I create income. The major and most important variable in whatever I share with you here is you. All right, since we got that out of the way, let's get started on wholesaling, and more importantly, on this video, three ways to lock up real estate, massive real estate wholesale deals. All right, so are we ready? All right, so first of all, what is wholesaling? You should know what that is by now, but I always like to at least refresh your mind in about 15 seconds. Wholesaling is the heart and science of finding, identifying deeply discounted properties, okay? Real estate properties, to be precise. All right, the heart and the science of finding deeply discounted real estate properties. If you can do that, there are a ton of people lined up. There's a ton of investors, people with real cash lined up, ready to pay for the properties, but also to pay you for helping them to find these deals. Okay, so it's really not no different from your regular pawn shop, or what do you call it? I was just in Long Island. This a very popular culture over there with I forgot what they call them. Is this different type of stores where they sell used stuff? You can go there and trade in used stuff in exchange for cheap dollars. You know, if you need some quick dollars, you can trade that in. If you can trade in valuables, we found trumpets, saxophones, guitars, electronic systems, anything from even cameras. You can find them. You can find them there because people come there to borrow money with their properties, but then they usually don't pay back. A lot of them don't end up paying that money back. And then this pawn shop, or well, I forgot what they call it, the fleas, it's not fleas. It's this type of shop where they sell used stuff, and you can take your used stuff in exchange for dollar jewelry, things like that. So the same thing happens in real estate. There are people that are going through life crisis, and as a matter of fact, the ownership of a property, a real estate property, is blocking them from moving forward. So when the idea of a real estate property pawn shop is what we're talking about here. And you may say, but I don't have money. But like I said, it's not about having the money. It's about being resourceful. It's not about having the resources. It's about being resourceful. The very idea of you finding yourself on this video is you taking an extra step in being resourceful than the next person. Okay? Because this is a very lucrative business model, and anyone can participate in it regardless of how much money you have or how much time you have. And it doesn't matter the kind of money you can make here, because it's very scalable. One of the questions that we ask people about new business models is how scalable it is, right? If you watch Shark Tank, one of the major questions is scalability. You want to be able to scale. You want the business to be able to run with or without you, right? And you want to be able to say, hey, I made $20 yesterday. Let me add a little bit of input, and now we're making $40, because that's what you call scalability. But if you need a lot more than 24 hours to increase income, which is basically your day job, right? Then that's not scalable. That's why it's not a viable business opportunity. But what I'm sharing with you in this series, real estate wholesaling as a viable and profitable and very lucrative real estate investing strategy, is very scalable. And no, you don't have to have your own money up front. All right. So that's that real quickly. Wanted to go over real estate wholesaling before. Now, before I get into today's topic, which is three ways to lock up massive real estate profits, make sure that you go ahead and download this book. It's absolutely for free. It's called Smart Real Estate Wholesaling. And to make it easier for you, you can simply go to smartrealestatewholesaling.com and get your copy. It's absolutely free when you get the PDF version. If you want the Kindle, the paper like this one, or audiobook, it's also available through the same link. Okay, so that's that. Also, if you want to take this to the next level and you want me to handhold you along with our virtual mastermind membership, it's only $10 a month, and you can find that at 3pillarsystem.com. On chapter 6, as a matter of fact, we're going to dive in a little bit deeper into what the three pillars are and explaining what that means to you. But the system, the three pillar system, which is how I build this business, okay, this is my core pillars of building this business, okay? We've created a system out of it, and you can follow it step by step and set your own shop up, okay, and start making a lot of money. Start finding these deals. Again, the idea is to find deals. In addition to that, when you find deals with us, you have resources to make money, to make profit, to turn the deal and make profit from it. Okay, remember, you're finding deal, but you find a deal, there are people lined up ready to pay you a brilliant amount of money for finding the deals. So we call them cash buyers. Some people, I prefer end buyers, because you can use any type of money source to purchase these properties. And with other trainees out there, it's your responsibility to go find the cash buyers as well. So not only are we going to teach you how to find the cash buyers, we're also cash buyers, and you have access to our own over 50,000 network of cash buyers around the nation, around the United States of America, to be precise. All right, so that's what that is. So now, when you find a deal, you lock it up, right? What does that mean to lock it up, right? What does that even mean to lock up a deal? Okay, what does it mean to lock up a deal when you find a homeowner, a motivated seller? They have to get rid of this property. The property is worth $200,000. They're willing to sell it right now for $98,000. It needs about $10,000 worth of work and repair. It's a deal. If you don't know how I came up with that, just watch chapter 3 and 4 to understand how I came up to know that that's a deal. We went into details on how to identify a deal in those segments. Okay, so you found a deal. What do you now do with the deal? Well, how do you even lock up the deal, right? Well, we have to put the deal in some kind of contract. That's what I mean by locking up massive real estate wholesale deals and profits, okay? There are three popular ways to do that, okay? Now, this conversation, it's a little bit on the legal side, but in no way, shape, or form am I giving you legal advice. But I want to give you the idea of what's possible and how I do mine. What I'm going to tell you, first of all, is that I don't close any deal without having a closing agent at the table, or an attorney, and actually attorney at the table. Okay, so I basically don't worry about the legalities of the business. Okay, and I suggest that you do the same thing. Don't worry about the legalities of the business. Okay, because you can't worry about that. That's not really your responsibility. Okay, that's not your job to worry about what terminologies is, what makes it. You don't want to go into too much details, but I can share with you, of course, you still have interest in making sure that you're doing something legal, right? But you also want to make sure that you're protected, because you invest time and money into this game. I'm going to tell you straight up right now, the best way to protect your time, your money, and your resources is speed. Automation, okay, and we're gonna cover that in chapter 6 on the second pillar, which is automation. But speed, learning how to play this game with speed, right, It's going to be your fastest way to protect your assets, your time, the money you've invested, all those things, right? It's not going to be the terminologies in the contract, okay? It's not going to be the clause in the contract, because I'm going to be straight up with you. You're trying to build a business, and the business you're building, what you do is you find deeply discounted properties. The finding it is where the money is, and the money is much more in finding them with speed, doing them in volume. Because the truth of the matter is that if you don't know how to do that, you're going to get stuck on one situation. I'm going to give you an example. So one day I went to one of the local meetups here in New Jersey, which I should go to a little bit more these days, right? I went to one, and basically this lady that said, listen, I drove for dollars yesterday. I just have a question. And I found this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful home. And, you know, I've been asking around. I asked the neighbor, I said, do they know who the owner of the property is? Because I know I can put an offer on it. And it just looks so beautiful. There's no way this home is not worth $1 million. And I just want to, and, you know, and I just felt for her. You know, I have the empathy for where she's a new beginner in the game, and she got all wrapped up in the emotional aspects of real estate. Now, let me share something with you that I think I've shared already, but let me repeat it, okay? Just in case I've shared it. This is not about houses. It's not about real estate. It's not about properties. We're just lucky to have real estate, houses and homes, as a high ticket product backing our business model, okay? It's about securing deals. It's about finding deals in volumes and securing deals. It's about the numbers. It's a heart and a science. The artistic part of this game, not heart, but artistic, A-R-T-I, the artistic part of this game is in the marketing skill set you require in order to make a killer in this game, and that's speed. Okay, you have to apply speed. You have to go wide, and when there's response to your marketing, you go in deeper to those responses. It doesn't matter if we're talking about, talk a little advanced now, if we're talking about the seller or the buyer or the agent or the realtors or the attorneys, right? Whoever it is that you're interacting with or you're partnering with in real estate, wholesaling, and investing, as far as you're concerned, they're just a prospect, but not just, they're a prospect, okay? Treat everyone equally, blast out with speed, wide, and when people respond to what you have to offer, because you always have some kind of value to offer, that's first pillar. If people respond to you, dig deeper to the responses. That's how you play this game. That's how you go with speed. Okay. So it's very, very important. No. So now for this young lady, she wasn't exactly young, probably around mid-50s. Basically, what she's missing there is that she got stuck on just one house. All right. She got stuck on a house, period. You can't get stuck in a house or a home. That's being emotional. That's what people that go buy a home to live in do. That's not what you're doing with real estate wholesaling and investing. What you're doing is you're creating income. What you're doing is you're creating productivity. And if you're going to do that, you got to stick with the numbers as much as you can. We're emotional beings. Sometimes we can't help it. We see something, we fall in love with it. Once you understand that what you need to fall in love in with here is ugly houses, then you can get overly emotional with ugly houses too. So you gotta really put your emotions in check. You're human, so it's only normal that you do that, but put it in check. Don't engage your emotional. Learn how to look at this game from an empirical, discrete standpoint and focus strictly on that. Okay, focus strictly on that. Case in point, I don't know if you can hear this beep that's going on right now. What happened is that there's a deal, there's actually two deals in Bergen County, and basically we just blasted all our cash buyers in that area. Say, hey, respond if you're interested. We didn't even give them details. We just said, this is potentially $350,000 profit on these deals. Reply with your email address if you're interested. And now the beeps you're hearing in the background, if you could hear it, I'm not sure if you can hear it, are basically people replying with their email address. Not only are we building a list of cash buyers who are responsive in the game, but we are going to dig deeper and actually send them a little bit more details. That's called digging deeper. So being able to go at speed in this game like that, go wide as you can, and then focus on those that are responding to you, are going to be the best way for you to protect yourself in this game. It's not going to be the contract, okay? So now, that's not the three ways of locking in the deals that I was going to share with you, but actually it's probably the number one major way for you to lock up your deals, is to understand that this is a game of business. And this is not about houses. It's not about homes. It's not about real estate. It's about your marketing ability, being able to scale up a business and being able to scale it up in a profitable manner, because you can scale up to a point where you can overkill too, right? That's called slippage, and you don't want to go too fast. You don't want to go too slow. You need just the right momentum. And what is just the right momentum? That is the artistic part I was talking about. There's a science to it. There's a heart to it. For me personally, I'm going fast enough. I make $100,000. I'm investing $20,000 back into the game. 20%. Okay. And then it's not about the 20%. It's about having a plan. Okay. It's having a plan for successive and growth that's sustainable growth. Okay, so having a plan for that. So with that being said, hopefully we get that out of the way. The three things I'm going to share with you are not much more important than what I just said. Protecting your people, you may find that, you know, your deal got stolen someday. Somebody stole your deal. Does that happen? Yes, my partner and I, we were having this conversation. That's Shola, if you don't know who Shola is. But we were having this conversation about protecting that. Do people steal deals in this game? Yeah, they do. Because you partner with people, and some people, they don't have the abundance mindset, and they think they're going to make a killer by stealing one deal. But they always end up shooting themselves on the legs by doing that. But can that happen? Yes, it can happen. But how would you like that to happen? And you didn't even realize it happened until 10 years later when they were confessing, because you are so busy moving with speed, you're moving contracts, and you can't even tell if somebody stole a deal or not. So now imagine if you are busy watching for everybody that's trying to steal your deal. You think somebody's out there to get you, and you're wasting your time, your resources, trying to police a situation that you can't really police, right? You're wasting time. You're not in business. So either you're the stealer or the stealee who is particular and trying to protect things that are stolen, you're not helping yourself. You need to focus on speed. Focus on speed. All right? Now, with that being said, there are a couple of things that you should be aware of. Three ways. Seemingly the way to protect yourself from a legal standpoint, but the truth of the matter is that the only thing I do in that essence is I make sure I have a closing agent, an attorney, a title company that take care of that. I don't even show up to closing. Okay, that's how I like to do it, because I don't have to. My services has been is completed. Once I find a deeply discounted deal and a able buyer is able to bite onto and put it on contract, I'm basically done. I'm on to the next deal as fast as I can. And I put a few things in place, like these things, to like actual personnel, like lawyers and attorney, closing agent, which is available everywhere in this business. Once you're in it, it's free, you know. Once you have that in place, then, you know, you just want to move with speed. All right, so the first way to lock up your deals, to lock up your property when you find a deeply discounted property and somebody says yes, is a real estate sales contract that's assignable. Okay, it's called an assignable real estate sales contract. And simply what that means is after your name, it will say and or assigns. That's AND / or, that's OR, assigns. That means you are the person putting this under contract, but you can decide to assign this contract to a partner, to an investor, the person that's bringing the cash, the person that's now partnering with you to close the deal. So with that, there's you can assign that contract, and there's assignment fees that you can get paid. If the deal is a straight deal, like a cash deal, it's going from one A to a B, and the money is no more than $10,000, you can do that, okay? If it's more than $10,000, your fee is going to be visible to the seller. And there are greedy sellers out there, okay? It happened to me on my first deal. I'm going to tell you this story here in a second. And they will see how much you're making, and then they're going to claim that you're making money off of them, right? So now, it took me a while to understand that, right? I brought a service to the table. I found a buyer for you. I'm getting paid, and you're getting what you agreed to getting, but now I made money off of you. I couldn't really understand that until I started to learn psychology of human beings. You know, we're greedy, you know, we get needy, we get very, very annoying in our own different ways. All of us, every one of us, human beings, okay? We're entitled, unnecessarily entitled to things that don't even belong. We have a hard time at being objective with issues, you know? So it took me a while to understand that, but now today I understand it. But I want to share that with you before you get started in this game. If you don't do things like this, understand the concept I'm sharing with you like this, you will run into it. When you run into it, maybe that's the way you're going to learn too, from experience. Before it happens to the best of us, okay? So here's what happened. I found the deal, okay? And it was a straight contract. There was no need for short sales or any kind of craziness. Basically, I think it was around $120,000. I put it under contract. It was worth about $200,000. It needed no work, okay? But the guy said he would sell it to me for $120,000. I put it under an assignable contract. At the time, we referred to it as an option contract. It's basically, he gave me the option to purchase the property for, I think it was 30 days, at $120,000. It's called a unilateral contract. He gave me the right to purchase the contract. I was not obligated to exercise the contract, but I have the right to exercise the contract. And basically, I took that option contract. I don't see many people talking about that these days. But again, it's just a contract. And some people may say, it's not legal to do that. No, there's no one to say that, okay? Don't worry about something that's legal. Now, that's not really your job. That's the job of lawyers, attorneys, okay? And the court of law. You're in this game to serve people. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't lie. And provide services. If you get to closing and say you used the wrong paperwork, okay, correct it. I can't tell you, at least 50% of the closes I've gone to in my life, something is off, and then they fix it. It's not a big deal. If something is wrong, they use the wrong paperwork or something, it's not a big deal. You could literally scribble on the paper, say, I have the right to purchase this property for 30 days. And if 30 days comes and I don't exercise the right to purchase as $50,000, then I don't have the right anymore. It could really be that simple. That's still a contract as long as they sign it, okay? As long as they sign it. Now, is it enforceable? It depends on so many circumstances, so many variables. But again, you're not here to worry about if something is enforceable or not. You're here to serve and do it in speed. Be serving so many people in speed. And if somebody says they don't want to honor your contract, you don't even have the time to realize that they're not going to honor the contract. You're on to the next deal already. You're moving that fast. It's technology age, and you can move as fast as you want. It's completely up to you. If you get stuck on little issues, then you can't move fast. Okay. So assignable contract that I used with this particular person, it was specifically on Salmon Avenue. I think it was 185, something like that. Salmon Avenue was my first deal that I closed back in 2005, December. At the time, I had like three other deals in the pipeline with my partner and mentor at the time. But it was my first deal, and I did it by myself. But the next three or four deals, I did it with the help of a mentor, okay? And I'm so happy I did that. But anyway, this particular situation, I didn't see it coming. I just put on an option contract. And then turn around a week later, I found somebody who wanted to purchase it. They were ready to go. And basically, they were purchasing it for me for about $140,000, okay? About $150,000, okay? Remember, it's worth $200,000. They're paying the $120,000 to the seller, and then they will be giving me $20,000 for my, 3, 4, 5 hours of work to get that happen. So I was going to make $20,000, but it was a straight assign. I just basically simply assigned the contract to the buyer. So because of that, they created what they call the HUD one net sheet. Okay. So for every closing, there's a closing statement. Okay. Depending on what state you are, they may call it a different name, but it's a closing statement that says where all the monies are going to, the money that goes that you pay for the attorney, the money that you pay for appraiser, the money that you pay for realty transfer fees to the government, right? That for all that money is on a statement, including the assignment fee of $20,000. So the seller saw that I was making $20,000, and he basically said, "Nah, you're making too much money off of me, bro." I was like, "It's my first deal. Remember, just think about it right now. I didn't have this confidence I have right now. Obviously, then I was like." I'm making money off of you? No, I'm giving you money. You're making money that you agreed to make. I'm giving you $120,000. So whatever the proceeds from that after we pay off, whatever your mortgage payoff is, it's yours. That's what we agreed on. You know what he said? He said, no, I'm not gonna do it. Now, what do you think I should do? Go take him to court, go sue him? No, that's not why I'm in the game. I'm not in this game to be suing people and to be engaged in unnecessary litigations. I'm in this game as a marketer, as a professional marketer, and I create deals, I find deals for investors. That's what I'm here for. Okay. But again, think about it. I worked maybe 5 hours of that deal. You know, I had been waiting for a whole year to close my first deal at the time. So guess what I did? I just said, okay, you know what? I'll give you $10,000 more. And he said, you have a deal. And then we closed my first deal. It was $10,000 back in December 2005. Now, here's why that happened. The reason why that happened is because I used an assignment contract. I locked up the deal using the first method, an assignment type of contract, because I assigned the option and then they created a new contract. But it was because I assigned the contract and it's the same one transaction, it was able to see how much I was making. Okay. And to a human's mindset, a regular average human mindset, $20,000 is a lot of money to be making quote unquote off of him, right? But now I'm giving him $10,000. And little did he know that he lost the most, okay? Because I'm gonna do that about 20 more times that year. In 2006, I did, you know. And but it doesn't matter. How do you protect yourself from that? Once you know it's more than $10,000, if it's $10,000 or under 4 digits, most people kind of know you're going to make money either as a realtor or agent or something. It's not a big deal. But like literally 5 digits multiple times, $20,000, that was too much. So I advise people if it's more than $10,000, okay, you have to use the second method to lock up your profits. Okay. So now that takes me to the second method. Okay. The second method is referred to as the double closing. Okay. And that name literally comes from there are going to be two different transactions. It's not going to be a contract of a real estate that goes from A to B and you're just making a fees. It's going to be going from A to B and B to C, and B will be you. Okay. So you're actually going to purchase the property. But within 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, as long as within 24 hours, okay, you're going to be selling that deal, that property to the end buyer. That's why they call it double closing. Okay. So everything that happens in transaction A, B is only seen by you and A, the seller. Everything that happens in B to C, you now acting as the seller, not acting, you now being the seller, will be basically seen by B and C, you and the buyer. Okay, so there will be no way for them to see the fees. You see your profit on the B to C transaction. It's called double closing. Now, do you have to know how to do that? No. Okay, I'm just sharing with you the concept. Okay, all you need to know is this concept. Everything I just said right now is all you need to know. You can play the video backwards multiple times. You don't need to know how to do it. You don't need to know the legalities or how. There's going to be a lawyer who understands it, who is willing to do it. There's going to be a title company who understands it and is willing to do it. Okay. Now, here's where people frown at the double closing in the past. A couple of things that makes people frown at it is the title chain. You know, within 24 hours, a property is changing hands. And, you know, because of the greediness and the entitlement of not just humans now, even the banks, sometimes, depending on the deal, the banks will say, hey, we don't want the title to break chains within the 30 days. We need it to one person to own the property for at least 30 days. If that's the case, that's not an issue either. Okay. That's not an issue. And I'm going to explain that to you. You see, with double closing, there's also something we call transactional funding that's available in this business. Okay. And I'm going to explain what that means to you. It's called the transactional funding. Okay. It's not guaranteed funding. I think guaranteed funding means all types of different things. It can be a transactional funding, but more importantly, it's a transactional fund. Okay. Now, here's the thing. When I used to, my first 3 years in the business, 2006, ending of 2005, I closed my first deal, 6, 7, 8, right? I did a lot of double closing. Okay. But basically, the money from the cash buyer, that same money is used to do all the deals. Okay. And because of that, because that same money from the end buyer was used for the two deals together, because the same money flows all the way through anyway, that when people started to use that to rob the banks and to really do very shady things, then they came up with a restriction that you cannot use the same funds for two different transactions within 24 hours. And I'm sure you can understand that. Because again, with legalities come loopholes. The idea of legalities is because there are loopholes and everybody's trying to cover, and there's always new loopholes to exploit by people that are looking for ways to cheat, steal, and lie. And they may end up in your circle unknowingly. Okay. So because of that, the bank came up with, no, you got to have your own money to close the deal first on A to B. Okay. And then you pay that, you pay the homeowner, they keep it moving, they're gone. Next few minutes, you're selling it to the end buyer. You can still have the end buyer ready with you, right? Next few minutes, you've paid for that property, but now you're selling this property, and this person will pay you with their own money, right? And basically, you've made money. So now that poses the question, you must have the funds first for this deal. And then people say, but this was supposed to be, I don't have to have my own money. You still don't have to have your own money. There are guys who have tons of money that are willing to give you $100,000 for a few minutes, okay? Close the deal, okay? For every $100,000 they give you, they're going to make that money back when you sell this house to this person, right? You make that money back, $100,000, but you also made some profit. Now, from your profit, you pay them $1,000. So that's called 1 point, because $1,000 of $100,000, that's 1%. It's called 1 point. So you pay 1 point. I don't care if it's 2 points. Just make sure the numbers work out. You're still in profit. They just made money for giving you that $100,000 to use instantly. Why did they do that? Because there's a end buyer ready to go right now. So they don't check your credit. They don't check anything. They just check the deal. Is there deals on the table that we need to close? Two different deals? Okay, I got transactional fund for you. Close the deal. You give me my $100,000 back. In addition to that, you give me a certain number of points. Usually it's like 1 point. Okay. That means $1,000 for every $100,000. So if it's $200,000 you used, they just made $2,000 for using the money that's going to be sitting back in the bank anyway for 1 day. That's called transactional funding. So the fix to that problem that we had back in the days when the bank started to frown at double closing was to have transactional funding. A solution to every problem. That's the mindset you want to bring into this game, right? Put on your hat of problem solver, a problem solving hat, and understand that once you understand the concept, you're just in the game of solving problems, starting with the homeowner, a homeowner that has a property that they have to get rid of. You help them solve that problem that by bringing an end buyer that wants to give that property some care and make some profit from that. You're a problem solver. Oh, we can't use that kind of funds anymore. Why? Oh, when you understand the why, you create a solution for the why. Okay? If you don't create it, somebody else will, and you simply leverage what the solutions other people create. Very, very simply put. So that's double closing. But these days with double closing, you must have transactional funding. I have tons of them. Okay. So if you join us in the mastermind, we have all of that. The third way to lock up deals, property deals, is using LLCs and trust. Okay. So opposed to you putting a property under contract with your personal name, you can put it under contract with LLCs. Some people require that you have to form the LLC first. Some people will wait until closing before the LLC is formed. It depends on your local area and your township, the attorney you're using. But the idea is you create an LLC and put the house under contract with it, okay? It doesn't have to be formed right away. In a lot of cases, it's performed at close or shortly before closing. But the LLC is basically the purchaser of the property or the trust, okay? And basically, to flip that property to an end buyer, you simply sell the trust. You sell the LLC to the end buyer. That's it, okay? The LLC own it, right? You put the contract, AB contract, under contract with an LLC. At closing, you sell the LLC for a fee, $20,000, $10,000. That fee never has to be seen by anybody else outside of the person selling the LLC and the person buying the LLC. So the seller doesn't have this, the original seller of the property never have to see how much you made. So the first way to lock it up is viable, but I only advise to use it if it's $10,000 that you're making or under, okay? That's not gonna create any kind of craziness or greed emotions in your seller. If it's more than $10,000, if you're making $20,000, $100,000, yes, my highest was $82,000 that I made from a wholesale deal. You don't want a seller to see that, okay? That particular deal was a situation where the seller just let go of the property. The property was out of state ownership. They don't want to deal with that anymore. Their house is boarded up. They didn't want to deal with it anymore. It's actually on Peabody Place in Newark. All right. Now, if they saw that I was making $82,000, they would change their mind and be like, you know, yeah, it's greed. It's normal. It's normal human emotions, right? But they didn't get to see that because we use double closing, okay? So if it was under $10,000, they could see it as my fees helping them get rid of the property. But if it's above $10,000, you need to use either double closing or use LLCs or trust to lock up the contract, okay? And then you sell the LLC. Or you do a double closing, the one transaction is to you and the transaction goes to the other person. So it's double closing. But with double closing, that means you're paying every fee multiple times. So there's a realty transfer fee for each one of those transactions. You pay multiple times. But that's the price you pay for actually closing the deals. What matters in all of this is that the deals close, okay? Everything that happens before that, you know, it's just basically your sacrifice for potentially closing the deal. Sometimes you try to go to closing and you can't go to closing from a deal you've been working on so hard, right? And sometimes everything just flows easily. But I tell you, the deals that close usually flow easily from the beginning. If you're having complications from the beginning of a deal, the homeowner is doing this, they're cursing you out, they're using curse words, and they're being irritating and obnoxious. If they're doing that, it may not be a bad idea to say, I don't want to deal with that any longer, because they're going to cause trouble every step along the way. And here's the more reason why you don't want to do that. Remember, the first step to protecting all of this is not even part of the three ways, right? Is to use speed in your marketing. Get properties moving, get money moving. If you use speed and you're going through this each property and you're just operating like that, then basically, you don't have to worry about somebody being disrespectful or a client being disrespectful. You focus on the ones that are responding positively and sees you as the only person that can help them solve the problem that they have. Because if there's no problem, there's no money to be made. Okay? If there's no problem, like if somebody has not identified a motivation, as we said in, I think, chapter 3, right? If there's no real motivation, you're not going to make money anyway. You're wasting time. And when there's no real motivation, people get into arguments with you. People start trying to curse you. People start calling out all kinds of stereotypes. People start using any excuse to discourage themselves from moving forward or just to vomit all their frustrations out on you. You don't have to deal with disrespect. This is a numbers game, and there are enough people that have problems that you can solve their problem and get through and just keep going through the game like that. So the number one way to really protect and lock up your massive real estate profit is to learn marketing. It's not to learn the legal stuff. I just share with you enough legal stuff just so you can understand the concept and what your lawyers and your attorneys are going to do or what they're going to attempt to do. It may vary from state to state. Make sure you liaise or you network with the people in your local state or the local state of where you're closing the deal, because we also have something we call virtual wholesaling in this game. You don't have to be in the state where you're closing the deals. Okay, you can close deals remotely without selling the house, because you're not. It's not about real estate. A house is homes. It's about solving the actual problem. You're dealing with a lot of homeowners that live out of state. They haven't even seen the property in years, but they know there's a property on their name that they must get rid of. And all you have to do is create the deal, find the deal in the situation, and then sell that deal to an end buyer. And you don't ever have to show up to the property if you don't want to. And some people will say, you know what, you have to show up to the property. You should go to the appointment. There's no rules, okay, that cannot be broken. The idea that there's a rule is that means it can be broken, all right? The only rules you should not break is legal laws. Don't break laws. Okay, so you're gonna go to jail if you break laws. But as far as rules, like, oh, just go to the appointment so they can build rapport. No, you can go if it makes sense for you. If that's how you operate the fastest, if that's how you move and you solve people's problems fastest, sure, do that. But in my opinion, it doesn't have to be. It may not be your style. You can absolutely build this business remotely from the corner in your house, as long as real problems are being solved. We're in the age of smartphone. We're in the age of you watching me on the phone right now. Very likely 90% chance you're watching me on a phone, not a computer, right? So when things are moving so fast, so you don't have time to be overly romantic, emotional about any concept. The idea is to find out people's problem and solve it. That's it. And do it as fast as possible to protect yourself, protect your emotions, protect your passion. Your passion, obviously, is attached to making money and building a business. I get that. But don't be overly attached to people's homes, okay, or to their problems, or find out what the problem is and focus on the actual problem and solve it. The problem in most cases is that somebody has a property they have to get rid of. It's a headache. They need to get rid of it. Solve that problem. If they want to make money and they don't have to get rid of it, then the real problem is money. Then present a solution of finding a realtor to help them list the house on the market for 60 to 100 days, and they need to fix up the property. That comes with that. The property needs to be staged. It needs to look in its best for them to command highest and best offer. Then you're focused on the problem and not getting emotionally involved. Does that make sense? But yeah, to go back to what this topic is about, there are three ways, right? Assignable contracts, right? Which we have in the back office with three pillar system, is only $10 a month to be a part of our mastermind. The second one is double closing. You don't have to worry about the technicalities of it. Just rewind this video, understand the concept of it. It means they sell you the property first, you sell it to another person, okay? It's very simple. You will need transactional funding for that. There are tons of contacts. There are people that will give you $100,000 for 1 hour and then make $1,000 back, meaning you give them 100 plus $1,000 back. Tons of people willing to do that. They just need to see the paperwork and see that there's an actual deal on the table. That's the reason why they're doing this. Easy money for them, okay? And then you still make your profit. Well, you were supposed to make $10,000. Now you're making $9,000. Is that a bad day? No, it's not. The third way is to put the houses under contract with LLCs. Acquire the contracts with LLCs and trust, and then sell those things for a fee. All right, that's another easy way. That's the third, the most common easy way. All right, so that's what I have for you on this particular chapter 5. Don't forget, go grab it. SmartRealEstateWholesaling.com is where you want to go grab this. It's free PDF. But if you want, you also have the options of the Kindle, the paper like this, or the audio. Through Audible.com is also available for free if you're taking their free trial. Also, don't forget, join us at 3PillarSystem.com. It's only $10 a month. That's where you come to be able to follow step by step what I do, be able to do it. All you need is 1 to 5 hours, depending on how fast you want to go. 1 hour. 1 hour. That's all you need. Commitment to 1 hour per day for 5 days a week, 5 hours. You can literally make $100,000 per year mastering this simple, very simple skill. It's so simple. All you're doing is finding deeply discounted properties, either in your neighborhood, anywhere in the nation, All the information is public record. Every property owned in this country, all right, 99% of them is public records. And all you have to do is find the deals there, and we'll show you how to do that, obviously through this free course, but also the step-by-step with our mastermind networking, with the mastermind having access to cash buyer network, having access to the funds that's needed to do these deals. You don't have to have money, okay? And you don't have to have money, but you need $10. You still don't have to have the money. Go borrow the $10 every month, okay? So you don't have to have the resources. You need to be resourceful, however, and that's this whole premise of real estate wholesaling as a real estate investing strategy is surrounded by the idea of being resourceful and not necessarily having the resources. Become very resourceful at solving million-dollar problems, and then you make $1 million. Okay? Is that helpful? Hopefully, you've been enlightened and entertained. Hopefully, you've been enlightened and entertained, and I'll see you on the next one. Peace.